Welcome back to the Spoken Wood Podcast. I'm your host, Matt Vanderlist, and for today's episode, we have an article that was written and recorded for us by Ron Hock of the Sharpening Blog. It's titled, Steel History Sidebar from the Perfect Edge. It was originally posted June 3, 2011. Now to find more great posts like today's, visit Ron's weblog, The Sharpening Blog, at hocktools.wordpress.com. Or of course, as I always do, I'll have links in the show notes to make it that much easier to get there. So without further delay, let's get on with the show.
Steel History Sidebar from the Perfect Edge. The discovery of King Tutankhamun's tomb was one of the greatest archaeological finds of all time. The lavish riches that were buried with the young king included more gold than the Royal Bank of Egypt had on deposit when the discovery was made in 1922. Among the 107 objects discovered on Tutankhamun's body was an ornately decorated iron dagger that he carried on his belt. Presumably fashioned from meteoritic iron, very rare and much harder and tougher than the other metals available at the time, his dagger was considered so precious that the king would certainly want it with him in the afterlife. In an age dominated by the smelting of copper and its stronger alloy bronze, iron was immeasurably valuable, more so than gold. My original blog post included a photograph of King Tutankhamun's iron dagger that was taken by Harry Burton, the only photographer allowed to photograph inside the tomb discovered by Howard Carter in 1922. This is one of 1,400 photographs Burton took of the contents, their cataloging and removal to the Cairo Museum completed in 1932. The photo is copyrighted by the Griffith Institute, University of Oxford. While iron oxide makes up over 6% of the Earth's crust, it took a long time for mankind to figure out how to convert dirt into something as useful as steel. The first smelting of iron from ore was probably accidental when some iron-bearing ore was accidentally mixed in with copper ore during the smelting of copper. Iron ore is composed mostly of various iron oxides which need to be reduced, or have oxygen removed, to form metallic iron. The iron ore was mixed with charcoal, which is mostly carbon, and fired. The carbon dioxide produced by burning charcoal combines with the hot carbon in the charcoal, forming carbon monoxide. The hot carbon monoxide turns again to carbon dioxide by stealing oxygen from, reducing, the iron oxides, leaving metallic iron behind. But the heat needed for melting copper isn't nearly sufficient to melt the iron that may be present in the copper ore, so the reaction from ore to iron occurs in a solid state, and the iron forms into a solid, ugly mass of spongy metal called a bloom. The bloom's cavities would be full of slag, molten impurities from the smelting that need to be removed. Someone must have recognized the spongy mass as a metallic substance, probably by using appropriate scientific methodology such as hitting it with a rock. Eventually, the bloom was processed by heating it to the slag's melting point and hammering on it until all of the slag had squirted out. Hard, dangerous, and resource-intensive work as the iron was reheated and beaten over and over to produce wrought iron. This process was the way iron was made from the late BC to early AD. Sometimes the bloom production could be managed so that it contained some carbon, and it is believed that the first steel was produced in East Africa as early as 1400 BC. The Chinese melted wrought iron and cast iron together to make a middle carbon steel in the 1st century AD. Wootz steel, also known as Damascus or pattern welded steel, a layering of steels with different carbon contents, was being produced in India and Sri Lanka and was imported into China by the 5th century AD. The Celts made steel from bars of wrought iron in about 200 AD by enclosing them in an iron container with bones or other carbonaceous materials and heating the whole thing over high heat for 10 to 12 hours. The iron absorbs the carbon and becomes steel that can then be forge-welded and shaped to produce tools. Modern steel production took a huge leap forward in 1855 when Henry Bessemer patented a process that could remove impurities from iron by blowing air through the crucible of liquid metal. 15 tons or more of molten iron could be purified in 20 minutes by the Bessemer process, after which carbon and other alloying elements would be added in the desired proportions. Thus began the age of inexpensive, mass-produced steel. This has been an excerpt from pages 14 and 15 of The Perfect Edge, the ultimate guide to sharpening for woodworkers. I'm Ron Hock. Thanks for listening.
Make sure you don't miss another episode of the Spoken Wood Podcast. Visit SpokenWoodPodcast.com to subscribe today. Also, please help support the show by clicking on the shopwoodworking.com links in the show notes. Your purchases help to ensure we can pay our hosting services and so much more, so we can keep the show coming to you free every week. Get 15% off your next purchase of great DVDs, books, and online content by entering promo code MBW15WW at checkout.